I'd just like to thank BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode. I always talk about therapy with you guys, and therapy has helped me tremendously in my own life. But when you're going through anxiety, it can be very intimidating to go and see somebody face to face. Not to mention the fact that therapy can be quite pricey. So BetterHelp offers a team of online qualified therapists at a much more affordable price than traditional therapy. During the worst of my anxiety, I was actually not going nearly as often as I would have liked to just because I could not afford it. BetterHelp really takes into account your personal experience and what you're going through and what you're looking for. So you actually complete a survey first that helps to personalize your experience and the therapist that they match you up with. If you don't get along with the therapist or it's just not a good match, then it's easy to just switch to another one. If you'd like to get started and you'd like to go and complete the survey, go to betterhelp.com/tamarin and I'll also include the link in the caption for you. BetterHelp offers video, phone, and text chat, and you can decide on whichever one feels most comfortable for you. When you use my link, you will also save 10% on your first month. Hello, and it's another episode. I think I've been on a roll of an episode a week for the past 3 weeks, because this is the third one in the past 3 weeks, I believe. So I'm sticking with it. Here we are, we're doing it. I think maybe Wednesdays are good days. It's Wednesday as I'm recording this. Whenever I record them, I always want to get them out immediately the same day. Sometimes it takes me a day or two to get them out to you, so it may be Wednesday evening as you're listening to this. It may be Thursday or Friday or the weekend or whenever you have time to sit down and listen, or whenever you may discover this because maybe you're new here, in which case, welcome. So for today's episode, as with every episode I ever sit down and record, I have a rough idea of what I want to talk about, but I don't have a very set plan. I feel like maybe I need to do that, where I have like a notebook with it all structured out. But I feel like when I do that, I kind of go off on a tangent anyway, on like a random ramble anyway, because things come to me as I'm sitting here and talking to you. So I'm in my usual spot that I've been in the past few weeks. My room is still under construction, as I told you guys in the last episode. I've just been working, and I've been so busy on my laptop that I haven't been making a conscious effort to actually tidy my space, and it definitely affects me when there's a mess around me. So I'm really planning on taking a day to do that, like maybe on Friday or the weekend. I need to get some bookshelves, I need to tidy up my books, and set up my little desk area so that I can have a desk to work at again. But anyway, for now, I like this little spot that we're in. I'm just at the end of my bed. I have my little heater. I've turned it off because I'm worried the mic will pick it up, and I'm pretty warm right now. I have my blanket. I made some tea. I made some peppermint tea to help me focus because I am tired. So one thing I will say is that if you struggle with your hormones, or you struggle with your moods, or you struggle with your emotions in any way, like if you consider yourself an emotional person, or maybe you don't, but your hormones kind of screw you over at certain times of the month, then you're listening to the right episode. And I'm just warning you that there may be a little bit of a rant happening. I always feel guilty when I do that, because I'm like, I have so many things to be grateful for in my life, and then my thoughts will come in and be like, you really shouldn't be complaining, and you know how it goes. But I think we are allowed to feel how we feel. We can be grateful, but also acknowledge that maybe we're just feeling crappy right now, like our emotions are trying to get the best of us, and we're trying to kind of, you know, keep them somewhat stable. So to be fair, I have actually been feeling pretty decent. Like, I was feeling pretty good for a while. I feel like last week was a really productive week. I was diving back into things. I've been bringing out blog posts for you guys, and I've been keeping up with the podcasts, and I've been doing other work that I need to get done. And last week felt like a really good week. And then as the week started coming to a close, I started to
notice that my moods are kind of iffy and kind of up and down. It's not, I will say this, I haven't been feeling depressed, and I'm grateful for that. It hasn't been depression because I can quickly tip over into that with my hormones, but it hasn't been depression. It's just been more, I've just been kind of emotional. Like, my emotions have been up and down, which is nothing new. And I've been moody, like very irritable. Like, I find that I'm quite reactive and I have to really take a breath so that things don't piss me off. It's funny because people get this first impression of me when they meet me, and they think that I am very calm and always super chill and everything. And I always tell people, like, I try to be, but honestly, I have a temper and I get very irritable. Like, that's just the truth of it. And I think sometimes people are shocked when they discover that I'm like that. But anyway, like I say, I think we all try our best to, not be reactive. I wish I was naturally like that. There's some people that are just so naturally calm and chill and like don't let things faze them, and then I'm the opposite of that. But having awareness does help so that you're able to kind of catch yourself when something comes up that is triggering or frustrating. In the last episode, I think I spoke to you about getting curious and asking yourself questions versus just getting frustrated with yourself for how you're feeling. Because that's what I used to do. I would feel like, I'll get into how I'm feeling today in a second, but I would feel kind of unstable, emotional. One thing that I struggle with is that sometimes I don't know how I'm feeling. Like, I really don't. Like, someone will say, "Well, how are you feeling? Tell me what you're feeling." And I can be so annoying because I genuinely don't know. Like, if I'm telling you I don't know how I'm feeling, that's not me just lying because I know exactly how I feel and I'm not going to tell you. I sometimes genuinely don't know how I'm feeling. And this is when I know that I need to take a step back and sit with myself and ask myself questions and try to figure out where the feelings that I'm dealing with are even coming from in the first place. So that's what I've been doing over the past few days, and it's a very clear pattern for me. Like, I can see it's where I am in my cycle. I'm on day 21 of my cycle, which means that my period is due in basically a week. I'm very much on time. Like, I get it every 28 days usually. But so that's showing me that my period is due in a week. So it makes perfect sense why I've already been feeling some hormonal symptoms. My ovulation has been so crappy this month. I'm also going to get into that in a second. But then another reason why it's very clear to me why I've been struggling mentally, emotionally, is the foods that I've been eating. So a lot of people don't realize that every single thing that you eat has an impact on you mentally, emotionally, physically. And one of the biggest parts of my anxiety journey and me finally finding ways to actually manage my symptoms and the intensity of my symptoms was really understanding the link between what we eat and our mental health. And during the absolute worst of my anxiety, I was eating terribly. Like, I really was not eating well. I wasn't really paying attention to what I was eating because I wasn't aware of the impact of, my foods on how I was feeling and how anxious I was every day. That was something that I didn't even think about. I was just focused on how I was feeling, and I was focused on how can I get rid of this symptom right now. I just want the symptom gone. What can I do? Where can I go find the quickest way to feel better? Not realizing that every single day I was fueling it and I was feeding into the intensity of how crappy I was feeling because of the foods that I was eating every day. So right now, with how I'm feeling, it makes perfect sense, and it does help. It doesn't mean that you're going to automatically feel better. It's not like, oh, because I'm aware of why I'm feeling crappy, okay, now I feel amazing. No, you're still gonna probably be struggling. But it definitely does help, especially if your symptoms are scaring you. It definitely does help to break down some of that fear if you understand, okay, so this is why I'm feeling the way that I'm feeling, and to really break it down. If you've read my first book, or if you've been around for a long time and really dug into the episodes where I talk about nutrition, or dug into my blog posts, or in like into my personal story, like way back in the day when I was at my absolute lowest, and when I was really struggling with severe symptoms just 24/7, then you'll know more about the link between nutrition and anxiety. So over the holidays, I just really wasn't, like, I wasn't eating terribly, but I was eating. Do you hear that crow? Because there is always, I have not heard crows in days. I'm sitting here recording this, there's a crow. Anyway, we won't get into that right now, okay? I don't even know if the mic picked that up. Anyway, let me gather myself and figure out what I was talking about. So I haven't been eating terribly, but there are some foods that I usually, so if there's something that I usually completely avoid, like completely, I never eat it, it's gluten. Like that's one thing that I never eat, because I found that when I cut that out of my diet, my anxiety symptoms immediately became better. My stomach issues became better. And here's the thing for me with gluten is that I've noticed that I don't necessarily experience symptoms as I eat it. Sometimes if I eat a lot, or if it's really overprocessed, I may experience bloating and some stomach symptoms that are really uncomfortable, like right away. But in terms of how it affects my anxiety and how it affects me mentally, emotionally too, that only comes in later, sometimes a week, even 2 weeks later for me. And that's why it can sometimes be really hard to define a clear link between the foods that we're eating and how we're feeling, because sometimes it doesn't happen immediately. So we'll eat something, forget about it, maybe not eat it for like 2 weeks, and then we're feeling really bad, and we're not going to be like, oh, that thing I ate 2 weeks ago is affecting me. So gluten is something that I usually avoid completely, just because, I mean, way back in the day when I was experimenting and cutting things out and adding them back in, I did notice that when I cut it out and didn't bring it back in, I felt a lot better. When I brought it back in, the symptoms would end up creeping back up on me, or they would become more intense. So this is something, so I just completely cut it out. I felt like I didn't need it. And if you do eat gluten, really try to opt for gluten that's not like super overprocessed, because that definitely obviously does have more of a negative impact. But anyway, getting back on track here, that's something that I don't eat. And over the holidays, I did eat gluten. And if you're sensitive to it, it doesn't matter how much you eat. You can eat like one crumb of gluten, and or you can eat a whole roll or whatever, and it's going to affect you the same way. This is something that I didn't realize. But if you're sensitive to it, it doesn't matter how much you eat, it's going to have an impact. So a few weeks ago, I had gluten, and it's affecting me now. And I'll get into the symptoms in a second, but that's a big part of why I feel like my hormonal symptoms are more intense as well. That's another thing. I also noticed that when I cut out gluten, I had bitter periods. My periods weren't as heavy or as painful. And I've been told that I very likely have endometriosis. I'm not going to get super into that, but it basically causes you to have extremely painful periods, extremely heavy periods. Your symptoms are a lot worse, your emotional symptoms are even worse. And honestly, like, the pain that I have experienced, and this is not me looking for sympathy, I just didn't understand during my teen years why I was in so much pain, and why people around me, why girls around me at school didn't seem to be suffering as much. Like, I thought there was something wrong with me. I didn't know about endo. Endo isn't something that I've really delved into with a doctor, just because apparently the only way that they can diagnose it is through surgery, and it can take up to 10 years to like properly diagnose it. And this is somebody who has health anxiety talking to you. Like, I don't want to go get surgery unless I absolutely have to. And I decided to do some of my own research to figure out how I can manage it. And every time I've gone to the doctor and I've mentioned my symptoms, they've always brought up endo. And the first thing that they recommend for me is to go on birth control, like to go on the pill. And I actually was put on it when I was about 17 for the first time. I was put on it because of my severe periods, and I had really bad acne as well. And I was told that it could help with that. Like, I only started getting acne when I was about around 17. I don't think I had any pimples before that. So while people were coming out of the pimple stage, I was going into it. And when I got it, when I started experiencing breakouts, they were so terrible. It completely killed my self-confidence. Like, I had acne everywhere. It was pretty severe. So I was told, okay, so the going on birth control is going to help with your period symptoms, and it's going to help with your acne. And to be fair, I think it's very vague right now, but if I think back, it did help me with my hormones in terms of my periods were not as severe. It helped with the pain. I think so. I don't really remember, but I'm almost certain that my periods were better and my skin was better. But I had a really horrible side effect, and that was that I was nauseous, like, all the time. And I remember at first I didn't want to tell my mom because I was liking the fact that my skin was getting clearer, which sounds so vain, but honestly, my skin was terrible. It was so bad. And so I just wanted to stay on it because I was like, oh my God, I don't want my acne to come back. So I didn't really say anything at first, and I told myself maybe this will, you know, ease up or whatever. But it got to a point where I felt like I was going to throw up permanently. And I mean, nausea is a trigger for me. And I just, obviously you can't live like that, and obviously that's not good. So I was taken off of that specific pill that I was on, and that specific one that I was on actually ended up being recalled. I'm not going to get into that if you have health anxiety, but I wasn't, fortunately for me, I was only on it for a few months, but that really scared me. And then after that, my doctor recommended this patch that you stick on your butt, and he was like, this may not be as intense, the hormones are still going into your body through your skin, but it may be better, you may not be nauseous. And I remember he told me, like, don't, whatever you do, even if you don't feel good, don't take it off until the last day of your period, or like as you've ended your period, something like that. But this patch that I stuck on my butt made me feel even worse than taking the pill. So I remember I was right in the middle of a period, and I felt so sick. And like I mentioned, nausea is a major trigger for me. So I just ripped it off. And then I ended up having the heaviest and worst period of my life for 2 weeks as a result. Like, by taking it off in the middle of my period, I completely threw off my hormones. So anyway, so after that, I was like, I don't want to try any form of birth control again, because clearly my body does not like it. And then I think I still just struggled after that and told myself, like, you know how we do that? We look for excuses, and we're like, this is just who I am. My grandmother had endo. She had it severe. She had a hysterectomy in her 30s, in her early 30s, I believe. And I was like, this is just me. You know, if I'm not going to have a hysterectomy, then I need to just accept it. And then it wasn't until years later, when I was really focusing on ways to manage my anxiety, because anxiety was ruling my life at this point. And then I was delving into, you know, the whole link between the foods that you eat and the impact that it has on you mentally. And when I started changing the foods that I was eating and I started to feel better mentally, I did notice a shift in my periods. This is not to say that they suddenly became these, like, it's not to say that suddenly my periods were super easy. No way. I still had to take painkillers, and I was still in a lot of pain, but I did notice that the pain would not be as severe as it had been when I was eating really badly. And then I kind of would experiment and notice if I had more sugar, or if I had a lot of dairy, or if I had gluten, then the next period would be an especially bad one. And as I say this, I'm freaking myself out for my next period as I'm sitting here, because I have not been eating the best. But anyway, that's what I noticed. Like, I noticed a clear link between not just how I was feeling mentally, but also like the physical impact on my body and my periods. So it's not just gluten, it's sugar as well. Like I know with endo, or if you suffer with bad periods just in general, or just with mood swings, or if you have PMDD, then there's certain foods that definitely do make it worse. Sugar is a big one. Sugar makes anxiety worse, 100%. There's no arguing it, because, and I'm one for a healthy debate, but you can't, there's certain things you just can't argue, because there's certain foods that increase inflammation in your body, and when you're anxious, you already have inflammation going on. So anything that you eat that's feeding inflammation is going to manifest physically as undesirable symptoms. So, I mean, sugar 100% increases internal inflammation, and you'll know this by how you feel, but you'll also notice, like for me, and this is something that a lot of people notice as well, but I feel like if you're eating sugar every day, or if you're eating a lot of processed foods every day, and maybe you're not super in tune with your body, so you don't even notice it, but it will actually make you, and as I'm talking to you now, I'm having these symptoms. Inflammation will cause symptoms like excess mucus, which will then cause throat irritations and congestion. And as I'm sitting here talking to you right now, I am congested, and I've been dealing with a lot of shortness of breath from feeling really, really congested, especially at night when I'm laying down, and like, this is gross, but like the mucus is all like running back into my throat. And this is 100% due to a lot of sugar that I've been eating. And then also my body is now busy detoxing off of gluten, because I haven't had gluten in a couple weeks, and now that's coming out now. And when it comes out, some symptoms that I experience from gluten detox include brain fog is a huge one for me. Like I'm just so foggy, and I just do silly things. Like I wanted to put something in the oven the other day, and I found myself opening the fridge and like leaning down as if the fridge is the freaking oven. And this happens to me when I have brain fog. Like I do stupid things like that. So I'm just like very foggy in general, and I find that I struggle to focus, and this is common with gluten detox. I get very tired and sluggish, and another big thing is that it affects my sleep. My sleep has been so icky, so iffy. Like last night, for example, I woke up so many times. I couldn't sleep. I think I got into bed at like midnight, which is early for me because I've been going to bed way too late. So midnight was early for me, but then I couldn't sleep probably until 1. So because my body has been used to going to bed after 1, so I got into bed at midnight and my brain was like, hey, what are we doing? Like, what are we doing here? Like, get up. So anyway, it took me a long time to fall asleep. And then I woke up and it felt like I had been sleeping for ages. I was like, oh, it must be like 6 or 7 o'clock. I look at the time. It was exactly 3:03. And I was like, I've honestly been sleeping for 2 hours. What the heck? And then it took me a while to fall back asleep. And then I think I woke up after another hour. And every time I was falling asleep, I feel like I was having dreams. I don't remember them now. And then I woke up at like 6, and like I kept waking up. So I'm feeling pretty sluggish and tired. Mint tea is good for if you're tired, it's more stimulating, because if I'm sitting here drinking lemon balm or chamomile, I'm going to fall asleep. A lot of water is really good if you're dealing with a lot of brain fog, whether that's from gluten detox or just, as well, apart from the gluten detox, I'm also PMSing right now because I'm heading into my period, so that's just intensifying the brain fog. And a lot of people deal with brain fog like in the lead up to their period, but, and this is important, it can start right when you're ovulating. Okay, so let's have a rant about ovulation. Somebody told me the other day, or I saw a comment, I think. Somebody told me that their ovulation has been worse lately than the lead up to their period. And this is the thing, like for me, it's different every month. Like sometimes I have really bad ovulation symptoms. Other months, it's more my period symptoms that are a lot worse. Sometimes I hardly notice my ovulation symptoms. Sometimes they're just intense. It's just, you never know what you're gonna get. You kind of just wait and see. But like on saying that, I do notice that when my ovulation is worse, it's when I haven't been eating well, when I haven't been sleeping well, when I've been more stressed than usual. And I know that a lot of women get really scared when their ovulation, when they're experiencing symptoms during ovulation, because you think that, especially if you have health anxiety, like, is this normal? Like, can you actually experience physical symptoms during ovulation? Because it feels like I'm getting my period, but I'm just ovulating, or my period is 2 weeks away. So this is important. Like, it's completely normal to and it's so fucking annoying, but it's completely normal to experience symptoms from when you're ovulating right up until your period, if you're one of the unlucky ones. It's so frustrating. It's so frustrating if you're one of those women who experience that, and I'm so sorry if you do, where you know you have like that, you basically have one good week because you get your period and then the countdown starts. You wish your cycle could start, like you wish day one could start the last day that you bleed, right? And I usually bleed like eight, like it will drag on for fucking like 8 or 9 days, and then I have a very short window before I'm on day 14, then where ovulation starts. So the good period is between that last day of my period right up to, until ovulation, which is a week if I'm lucky, if my period hasn't dragged on. And that for me was the beginning of last week, and that's why I felt so good and I felt so productive and I just felt so motivated. And so this is really important, and I'm about to give you a pep talk, so just hold on. You cannot put pressure on yourself and expect to work at the same level of intensity throughout the entire month, okay? If you're on a 28 to 35 day cycle, whatever yours is, because it differs woman to woman, but if you're on this like 28 day cycle, every single week is going to be different. And this is what we do, and this is what I've always done. I'll have a really good week and I'll be feeling so motivated and I'll get so much stuff done and I'll be like, yes, I'm making progress in my life, blah blah blah, all these things that I've just put aside, I'm doing it, I'm doing it. And then, you know, the next week I'll feel like a completely different person. And then instead of being gentle and being like, okay, Tam, like let's sit with this and like let's figure out where are we in our cycle, like let's listen to, you know, like let me listen to my body, because this is something we don't do. We're just frustrated with our bodies, and we're like, we're expecting to work at the same level of intensity throughout the month. And then when we have a week where we don't feel good and where all we want to do is just lay down, we're like, oh, we're so lazy. Oh, I'm so lazy. I need to get my ass up and like get my shit done. But that means that we're not living by our cycles. We're not living according to our monthly cycle, because every single week dictates something different. Every single week, I'm trying to figure out my wording here, but we need to give ourselves something different week by week according to where we are in our cycle. So as I'm talking to you about this, I've just remembered this video that I watched the other day, and I've just looked in my camera roll because I remember saving it and I've just found it. And I was going to try, like I was going to just tell you her name and try to summarize it in my own words, but you know what? My brain is not functioning at its best right now. And I just love how she explained this, and it made me feel so much better. So you know what I'm gonna do? I'm going to play the video on here for you to listen, because I really think that you're going to find it really helpful and it's going to bring you some comfort, especially if you're really, really hard on yourself. And as she says, especially if you attach your self-worth to your level of productivity. So I'm going to play this video for you because she explains it much better than I would. Her name is Emma Marshall on TikTok, and I'll of course tag her in this episode, so if you want to go check out her videos. But I'm going to play her video on here because she just explains this so well, and I really want to include this in here.
That women, all women on planet Earth, need to stop doing if they want to live in alignment with who they truly are. If you are a woman and you are doing this thing, this literally is keeping you so far away from your natural state of magnetism, of abundance, of self-love, of self-worth, of all of the things that make you a fucking woman. And it happens to be incredibly simple, yet so many women are so far away from it. So let's get into it. You need to stop attaching your self-worth to your level of productivity and output. And let me just repeat myself really quick. You need to let go of the idea completely, utterly, entirely, that your self-worth has anything to do with your level of productivity. And let me tell you why. We live in a capitalistic culture. We live in a patriarchal culture, a society that has been created by men for men. Men run on 24-hour hormonal cycles, which means that they have pretty consistent energy levels all throughout the month, which means they can work 40-hour weeks, they can work out, lift weights, do the heavy lifting pretty much all of the time, and their energy does not fluctuate that much. Women, on the other hand, have a 28 to 32 day hormonal cycle, aka your menstrual cycle. Unlike men, our hormonal cycle is constantly changing. Our energy levels are changing. Our ability to do certain tasks are changing. Our workouts are changing. Our foods that we should be eating are changing. Literally everything is changing all throughout the month. And who you are in your follicular phase right after your period ends is completely different. You are literally a different woman than who you are when you're in your luteal phase right before your moon. Which means that your level of output and productivity is constantly changing throughout the month. There are going to be some times of the month where you have a lot of energy and you can be super productive. And there are going to be other times of the month where you literally want to do nothing but lay in bed, and that is biologically true for you. If you attach your self-worth to your energy levels, you are constantly going to let yourself down because your energy levels are not constant. Your self-worth should literally only be tied to who you are at your core, who you be. Your existence in and of itself makes you worthy. It's a very masculine energy to tie your self-worth to your productivity. So if you're a woman, please let that shit fucking go.
And there you go. I love the way that she explains that. And it, when I watched that video, it made me feel a lot better, and I really hope that it's helped you to feel better, because we put so much pressure on ourselves to have to work at the same level of productivity, like, all the time, and then we feel lazy and are hard on ourselves when we feel different. Our energy levels are fluctuating, our moods and our emotions are up and down. I mean, it's completely normal. So instead of being hard on ourselves, we need to just kind of ask ourselves, like, what do I need right now? Like, what is going to help me right now with how I'm feeling? So for example, the past few days, but especially this morning, I woke up, of course I didn't sleep well, and I mean I have things on my to-do list that I need to do and that I want to do. I want to get them done and ticked off, but I asked myself, like, what can I do today, right now, in this moment, to help myself? And I just decided to I'm able to put things aside for a bit, and I'm very grateful for that, and I'm able to have a slower day today if I so choose. But the thing with me is, when I do that, I feel guilty, so I'm trying to let that go. Like, I'm trying to let go of feeling guilty or feeling like I'm not, you know, being productive enough or getting enough stuff done, or that I'm being lazy, because I know that it's not laziness. If I felt motivated, if I was at a different part of my cycle, then I would be able to get up and, you know, do all those things that I want to do with a lot more motivation. So today, so far, what is the time right now? It's almost 3 p.m. I have had an extremely slow day. I have stuff on my to-do list that, like I said, needs to get done, but I haven't done it yet. One thing that I really have wanted to do this week is record another episode, but this doesn't feel like work for me. This is me sitting down and having a conversation with you, and it feels very relaxing. So I was like, you know what, that's something I'm going to prioritize today, because sitting here and having a chat with you really does help me to feel better. Like, it helps to talk about it. It helps to sit here and know that someone is listening who can relate to this, and hopefully something that I say or something that I share can help you if you're sitting there and feeling guilty or feeling like you're a crazy person or like you shouldn't be feeling as emotional as you are or whatever. And please don't let anybody make you feel embarrassed for being emotional, and don't let anyone make you feel like there is something wrong with you or like you're crazy, because you are not, I promise you. I've had people at jobs that I've worked at, and when I was at school, teachers even, who haven't understood how much I've struggled with my moods and with my periods, and it always made me feel like there was something wrong with me, like I was different to everybody else. I just couldn't understand it. Like, if I would take time off school, people would say that I was just looking to have time off and that I just don't want to be there. If you know anything about my story, or perhaps you don't, and then I'll share it with you now. I used to work as an esthetician at different salons and spas. I've worked at so many different ones, oh my god. But there was one that I worked at, and my boss was this guy who just, anyway, let me just reserve certain words here. he was just not very understanding of women and their cycles at all. And I remember one day I woke up and I was in absolute agonizing pain with my period, but I had like a whole bunch of clients scheduled, and I called in and I didn't take the day off. I literally called in and just said, would it be okay if I come in a little bit later? I'm really struggling and I'm really not feeling well. And he had said, yes, that's okay. And then when I went in, he was standing there with some of the, he is a hairstylist. And then I worked upstairs in the salon, and he was standing there with some of the hairstylists when I arrived to work. And he was like, oh, here she is. She didn't feel like coming to work today, had some nice relaxing time at home before coming in. Or he said something like that and made a joke, and everyone laughed. And I was like, I remember I was so embarrassed. I remember just feeling really embarrassed and awkward, and I was feeling so horrible. Like, I remember I was like, had taken a bunch of painkillers just to try to get through my afternoon. I was feeling awful. You know how we feel emotionally. He said that I just wanted to like burst into tears. Now, the way that I am now, if someone said that to me, I feel sorry for them. Like, I would not be quiet. But I was different back then. I've come a long way, and I was a lot quieter. Like, if something upset me, I would just keep quiet and I would just internalize it. But I remember feeling so horrible and embarrassed, and like, you know, like there's something wrong with me, and I just wanted to cry. And then I started to feel angry, and then my emotions were all over, and I remember that day was so crappy. And you know, to him it was just, oh, making a joke or whatever, but to me it was like, you have some empathy, you know. And if you're a guy listening to this, I hope that this episode will help you to, you know, have some, and maybe you already do, in which case you're amazing, you truly are. But hopefully it helps you to have some compassion and empathy and love for the women in your life who may be struggling, you know, with their hormones and, you know, with their cycles. So today I just told myself I'm going to have a very slow morning, and I'm going to let myself be okay with it. I woke up and had my warm water with my lemon. I haven't actually been having lemon every single day, which may be surprising because it's something that I've spoken about for years, like the warm water with the lemon. I've been kind of switching it up, and some mornings I'll have herbal tea instead, or you can have warm water with fresh ginger. You can even have warm water by itself, but you want to wake up and immediately hydrate preferably with warm water to, you know, help to wake up your digestive system before you, you know, dive into your coffee or anything like that. So I had my warm lemon water and I read my book. Let me just quickly say, in the last episode, I was telling you guys about books, some of my favorite books of 2023. And I mentioned a book and I finished this book. I think I finished it on New Year's Eve. It's called Divine Rivals by Rebecca Ross, and it's a love story, but it's also a fantasy. But if it's not very intense, like if you're wanting to get into fantasy, it's a really good place to start because it's not overwhelming. But it's such a beautiful story. That book made me feel giddy. It made me feel like I was a teenager. Like, it just, the love story is just so beautiful. And then when I finished it, I was so sad. And then I went on Goodreads and I was just like looking up reviews and stuff. And then I realized that there was a second book that had, I think it came out the day after Christmas, the follow-up to it. And I think this is the last one. So it's just like a duology. It's just two books in the series. So I was so freaking excited when I saw that. I ordered it immediately and I've been reading it. And I probably have about 50 pages left and I plan on finishing it tonight. So the second book is called Ruthless Vows by Rebecca Ross. And oh my god, I love this book as much as the first one. I've had a really good start to my new year with my books. This is my second book for the new year. After this one, I read this gothic thriller by CJ Cook. I don't remember now. It was a haunting one. It was like a scary one and it was very good. I absolutely loved that one as well. I didn't realize that she writes her books with like underlying currents of trauma that she's experienced in her life, because it was a very hard book to read, actually, certain parts. But I don't know, that book made me really emotional at the end of it. Like, I wasn't expecting that, but that was a really good book too. It's called A Haunting in the Arctic, I think, by CJ Cook, I believe. I hope I'm right. But anyway, so this is my second book of the new year, this Ruthless Vows one, and I am loving it. So anyway, I went off track there because if I start talking about books, I start rambling. But I spent my morning just having my lemon water with my book, and then I made myself a cup of hot chocolate. I added in a pinch of sea salt in there. I added in a pinch of cayenne pepper, which is really good for your blood, for like stimulating blood flow and blood purification. What else? I added in some cinnamon. Cinnamon is actually very good for anxiety and can increase serotonin, your brain's feel-good chemicals. And lately I've been having cinnamon like on everything, in everything. So this is, you know, these are small things that you can do. It's just, you know, add cinnamon in everything, add more turmeric, which is anti-inflammatory. Just little things like that can actually make such a difference. So that was my morning. And then I had breakfast and I watched a vlog, one of my reading vlogs on YouTube. And trust me, while I'm doing this, there's a little voice in my head that's trying to creep in and make me feel guilty. That's like, wow, people at work right now, look at you. You're sitting here and you're watching YouTube. But I really try now to not let that voice control me and realize that that's just, that I don't have to attach myself to that voice at all. And that I'm allowed to rest. I feel like I work a lot. Like, I often work way past 6 or 7 p.m. because that's my goal now, is to really try to get off of my laptop by 6 or 7 every night. Preferably 6, 5 or 6. But then I do need to be waking up earlier, because usually I'll sit and be doing stuff on my laptop till late in the night. So, you know, I told myself I work a lot. I'm allowed to rest. When I am slower and gentler with myself, I'm actually more productive when I do get back to work, and I actually work better. So I try to tell myself that. And the same goes for my workouts. So another part of my anxiety journey, something that helped me tremendously, was learning to get in tune with my body, move my body, stretch, get my blood flowing. I talk to people all the time, especially with these one-on-ones. And I'm just wondering what that noise is, and it's the wind. Like, I can just, I always have my window open a little bit, even if it's freezing, and I can just feel the breeze coming in. So one thing I wanted to say was with the one-on-ones is I'll often ask people, like, what are some ways that you're managing your anxiety? And a lot of people will say to me, you know, I've been in therapy for years and it's, I don't know if it's really helping me. And that will be the only thing that they're doing. Now, I've already spoken to you guys about, like, you know, the link between what we eat as well. Like, that's a huge part of it. But talk therapy, while it can be very beneficial, and it is, and it's helped me a lot in my own life too, that's just one part of it. Like, when we're anxious, we need to talk it out, but we also need to move it out. We have all this adrenaline in us, all these stress hormones flowing around, all this stagnant energy, and the only way to do that is to move. And a lot of people will say to me, but I'm so anxious all the time, and my heart rate is high all the time, so I'm scared to move because it pushes it up even higher. And trust me, I completely understand that. But when I started finding ways to move my body, I started with yoga. And this is the thing, people think, when people hear the word yoga, they think you just sit there and breathe and hardly move. But there are so many different kinds of yoga. There are so many different flows. And I just decide what to do on my mat based on how I'm feeling that day. Like, I don't, if I'm feeling really good and motivated, I'll do a really sweaty, intense flow that really gets my blood flowing and is actually an intense workout, versus when I'm feeling like I'm feeling now, where I still want to get my blood flowing, but I want to do it in a gentle way. And this is another thing that I want to say here, is that I have to learn that it's okay to not be doing heavy workouts and to not feel guilty for that either. Because sometimes I've realized I can be really hard on myself with that, where I'm feeling bloated and I'm not feeling good in my body, and then my brain will, you know, that annoying fucking voice in your head will come in and say, you know, you're bloated and you're not feeling good, you should really be increasing your workouts. But then when you go and try and do a heavy workout, when you're feeling so low in energy, you just end up feeling worse or in a really bad mood. Self-love is truly a process. Like, it really is. And that includes loving your body in all its stages throughout the month. Because especially with endo, like, they say endo belly, they call it endo belly, where you can get really bloated. Like, I've had times where I'm so bloated. I'm trying to watch my language here because I don't want to keep swearing, and I'm sorry if I've offended you. I really am. I do try to watch my language. But sometimes I am so bloated and I find myself just, you know how we can feel disgusted with ourselves, and I really don't like that, where we just like, oh, I really wish that I had a flat stomach, or I need a six pack, or, you know, we'll maybe, I've gone through stages like that where I'll start doing these crazy ab workouts and like I'll last for like 2 weeks before I'll fall off it, because I'm not doing it for the right reasons. I'm doing it for the aesthetic, because I'm feeling like, oh, I feel like I'm bloated, and I want to have a flat stomach. And then of course on social media, it doesn't help us when we see people like, and you never know nowadays what's Photoshop either. There's a woman that I follow on Instagram, Dana, is her last name, Mercer, because I don't want to not know how to pronounce it. People are so cruel if you don't pronounce things properly, holy. there's this girl that I followed for years, her name is Sarah, her channel is Sarah's Day, and I love her. I think she's just such a cool person. I just love her personality. But she is not quiet about, like, when people are rude. Like, she will go on her stories and she'll say, listen, like, you can tell me something in a kind way. And I absolutely agree with her, because she often will mispronounce things and she'll get DMs about it where people are like, ew. Like, people said to her recently, ew, I can't believe you pronounced the name of that bag like that. And she comes in her stories and she does not keep quiet. And I just love her for that. So anyway, and I find that that's the thing with me is like, I'm always so worried I'm going to mispronounce something. But you know what? Like, whatever. If I mispronounce it, I'm sure somebody will gently correct me and I will be grateful for that. So anyway, I think her name is Dana Mercer. I'll find her tag and I'll put her in the caption as well, because she makes you feel like it's okay to just accept your body, because she shows you all the ways that women on social media use all these Photoshop apps to literally blur out cellulite and like flatten their stomach or get rid of love handles, and trust me, you would never know. Like, we see pictures and videos and the Photoshop is so good nowadays that you would never know. And then we look at these pictures and we compare ourselves to that. We compare ourselves the majority of the time to something that isn't even real. We put this pressure on ourselves, comparing ourselves to things that are not even real. Just think about that for a moment. Just honestly, like, isn't that crazy? Or, you know, like when people take pictures, like, we're using filters. I mean, I use filters, like, on just for fun or whatever on Instagram to, like, make you, like, smooth everything out or whatever. Like, we use filters and, you know, when people take full body shots, they're using good lighting and everything. And I think it's really hard when we're dealing with any kind of struggle around body image. And then we see that and we're like, oh, you know, I have cellulite, or I like have some rolls right now. And then we get really hard on ourselves and we're not gentle with ourselves. And does that help us? Has that ever helped you? Like, ask yourself that. Has that ever helped you? No, it hasn't. It's made you feel so much worse. So I really do try to be gentle with myself now. I follow people that make me feel good about myself and that are encouraging and nurturing, versus get on the floor and do these fucking push-ups and no excuses for the perfect body or blah 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 blah. And it's often guys that are yelling at you like that. And it's like, as you just heard with what I shared earlier, guys are in a completely different cycle than we are. So we can't even begin to compare. Like, we absolutely can't. Anyway, I feel like I don't do well with somebody yelling at me anyway. I know some people, I mean, honestly, and that's okay. Like, we all respond differently to different things. And some people need that. Some people need someone to be shouting at them for any kind of motivation. But me, if somebody is even raising their voice to me, I shut down. Like, I completely, like, just, nope, sorry. Like, I just shut down. Or if someone speaks to me in a certain tone of voice, or just makes me feel stupid, or I don't even know how to explain it, but it's just a certain type of way that a person can speak to me where I will shut down completely and you will get nothing else out of me. And I'm sure a lot of you listening to this can relate to that. So this has truly been a ramble and a half, has it not? My God, like, I'm just thinking, what have I given you in this episode? I hope I've just given you some validation if you're struggling, and to let you know that there's nothing wrong with you. And if you are feeling completely unmotivated and like you need to rest right now, let yourself rest. Let that be okay. If you need to stay in bed, let that be okay. Listen, this is a big thing. And this is something we can all do more of in 2024, is to just listen to what we need. Like, ask ourselves, sit with ourselves. I'm serious. Like, literally, this is what I've been doing. I'm like, what do I need right now? Like, what would make me happy right now? Would going to try to, you know, like, do that task make me feel good right now? Or should I put it aside and do something else? You know, this morning I had a shower. Did I feel like showering? No. You know when you just don't feel like showering? Like, sometimes I just don't want to shower. Not because of anxiety. That's a whole different story. I used to never want to get in the shower because my symptoms would be so intense, and I feel like in the steam and the heat, my heart rate would get worse and my dizziness. And shower anxiety is a very real thing, by the way, so don't feel embarrassed if that's something that you struggle with. But no, this morning I just didn't feel like it. It felt like a chore. But I had a shower, and I just bought this new body lotion because, so where I live in Ontario, Canada, and this weather has been, you know, we have the indoor heating, you go outside, it's dry, it's just dry air everywhere. And my skin, I have very sensitive skin, my skin has been freaking parched. And I've just been using like a regular lotion, and it has not been cutting it. So I bought myself just on Amazon, this little pot of like, I have to always buy natural stuff, because if it's chemical based, I probably will get a rash. I'm so hypersensitive. Even certain natural ingredients I've gotten rashes with, so I'm always nervous. But I tried this lotion, and my skin is, I haven't been itching, because I've been itching for days, which is so gross, but I've been so itchy. It's shea butter, and I'll probably share it on my story. So if you're on Instagram, you'll see it at some point. I'll share it soon. It's shea butter and jojoba oil, and I used to say jojoba oil. So if you do say that, don't worry, because how are you supposed to know? And I only learned this because I used to do freelance writing skincare articles for clients. And then I learned in there that it's jojoba. You spell it jojoba, but it's jojoba oil. So anyway, so getting off track again, this is shea butter and jojoba oil and vitamin E and like all this good stuff for your skin. It's very thick and it smells good and it feels good. So I had a shower, I put that over my whole body. I went and stood in front of my red light. I went naked in front of my red light because we haven't seen the sun, and the like red light therapy can really help you with your mood as well as inflammation. And then I made myself some mint tea, and here we are. And this has been my day so far. I still have some things that I'm going to try to get done. But the theme of today has been to just go with how I'm feeling and do what I can versus force myself to do things that don't feel good. So before I love and leave you, how long have we been here? For almost an hour. Before I love and leave you, I just wanted to share some new things that I've been doing lately that may be interesting for you. So I don't know if you're on TikTok, you probably have heard of it because it's just trending on there right now, but castor oil, some words that I say, I'm just like, I wonder if people understand what I'm referring to, but you know, if I say it in a Canadian or American accent, it's castor oil, but I say castor oil. So I'd heard a lot about it on TikTok, about how it's very good for blood flow and for detoxifying. And what drew me to it was I had seen women talking about it as being helpful for any period or hormonal issues, apparently. And please don't quote me here, I'm just saying what I've heard. This is something that I still have to do research into, but this is just what I've heard. Apparently, if you massage it on your stomach, it can help with period pain. And if you have cysts or anything, it can actually... I saw this story about this woman who had cysts in her stomach, and she massaged the oil on, and apparently it got rid of the cysts. I don't know, but apparently it can be helpful for... I'm saying, this is my ADHD brain, okay? I say certain words and then I want to, like, my brain like goes off on a different story. So I've said apparently a few times now, and it's making me think of this... have you seen that video with that kid? This news reporter is like interviewing people, and then this kid comes on and he's like, well, apparently, and I don't even know what he says after that. It's at a theme park or something. And he had just been on a roller coaster, and he's like, apparently, blah, blah, blah. Like, I don't know what else he says, but it just made me think of that kid. Anyway, okay, back on track. This is what it's like to live with my brain. I just am constantly going off in different directions. Anyway, apparently, if you massage it on your belly, it can help with a whole bunch of things. But then somebody also let me know that to not do that because it can make your periods heavier. So now I'm just like, I'm not sure what to do. One thing I will say is that, okay, so I have a big jar of it here. Make sure it's always bought from a health store. Make sure it's organic. Make sure it's the real deal, because on Amazon, sometimes you can purchase things that are actually like the fake versions of it. So don't get caught like that. But the other day I was dealing with pretty intense ovulation pain, and I actually took some castor oil and I massaged it on my stomach, and my pain eased up. And I don't know if this is just placebo, where I'm just like, my brain is just was just so sure that it's going to work, so it just felt like it worked. But my pain went away, and I know it helps with, you know, getting the blood flowing and stuff. So I don't know, I felt confident to do it because I wasn't bleeding, but I just decided to just try it. I was like, I'm just gonna try it and see what happens, and it seemed to help. So I want to try it for my next period. I'm going to do more research, so I'll definitely do an updated episode where I let you know how it's been helping me. But I am very, very curious. I will say, I've been using it on my skin as my moisturizer, because I've also heard that it's amazing for your skin. I mean, think about also if you get hormonal breakouts. Like, I still get hormonal breakouts. I'm 35 years old and I still break out. So I've been using it on my skin. It's very, very thick. If you're looking for a very lightweight oil that isn't thick or greasy, this is not the one. But I don't care. Like, my skin has been so dry that I don't care. I like the feel of that. It makes my skin feel just so hydrated. So I've been using it as a moisturizer on, like, I've been doing this neck, chest, and facial massage. Like, you start just under your collarbones, and then I've been massaging with it to kind of get my lymph flowing and my blood flowing, and I've been doing it all over my face, and I've been doing this every night. And then in the morning under my makeup, I've been using it as well, and I swear to you that my skin has never felt or looked this good ever. I don't have any issues with, often in the winter, like, my skin will peel and feel very dry, especially when I put foundation and stuff on. But I've had no issues, like, at all. My skin looks healthier without makeup. My skin is looking better. It's been helping me with, I've always had really dark under eye circles. It's just hereditary. Like, I just have really bad circles. That concealer is my best friend. But apparently, here I go again, apparently if you put castor oil under your eyes, it can help to lighten dark circles. And I've been doing that at night, and I swear that my dark circles are lighter. And this is crazy to me, because I paid like $16 for that big bottle of castor oil that is going to last me forever, because you do not need a lot. And it has replaced these expensive eye creams that I was buying that I wasn't even really noticing a difference with. It's replaced these expensive facial oils that I was buying. So it's just crazy to me. Like, I really do love this stuff for my skin. And when I first initially massage it in, my skin turns quite red, but then it goes down very, very quickly. But that's because it boosts your blood flow. That's why women I know love it for, like, the anti-aging effects. Because when you're boosting blood flow in your skin, you're encouraging collagen production. Anyway, I'm not going to bore you with, I can talk so much on skincare. My God, I've learned so much over the years. But anyway, this is not, if you want me to do an episode on that, I would love to, because I can talk about skincare stuff for ages and ages. I know so much. But if you do put it on and your skin seems a bit red, that's good. It's boosting your blood flow. And trust me, I have extremely sensitive skin, and my skin loves it. So that's something to consider. If you're looking for some really good skincare, but you're trying to save money, it is amazing. It's better than like $100 freaking serums that I have tried in the past that really didn't do all that much. So that's something to consider. And then as for the hormonal benefits of it, I will let you know. Like, I'll be the guinea pig for us. I'll try it. Like, I think I'm going to try it for this period. I'm just going to give it a shot. But don't use it as a total body moisturizer, because I feel like that could be too detoxifying. So maybe don't do that. unless you go do research. Like, I don't want to tell you, oh, go use this as a moisturizer. I just have been using it on my chest and my neck and my face. And then the other day I tried it on my stomach when I was ovulating. But I don't know if you can use it as a full body moisturizer. Like, do your research before you do that. And then another thing is I have been extremely consistent with taking a fish oil supplement every day. I know. If you have health anxiety and allergy fears, you're like, oh, I'm so scared to take a fish oil. What if I have an allergic reaction? I completely understand. There are vegan options if you are allergic to fish. I think there's one from a brand called Nordic Naturals that's vegan. The one that I'm taking is, I have a new blog post where I go in depth about supplements and I share it in there. It's a fairly new brand that I've tried recently. I think it's like Sports Research or something. I'll include the link in the caption, but I've been very diligent with taking a fish oil because I noticed about 2 months ago, I think it was like two periods back when my pain was just so much better, which was really weird. Like, whenever my pain is really good, I'm like, hold up, but like, what have I been doing? Because I need to know. And the only thing that I had been doing differently was taking a fish oil supplement because it's very good for inflammation. Because when we have pain, we have all the inflammation going on, right? So I then fell off it a little bit. This is my thing with me. Sometimes I'll run out of a supplement and then I won't stock up right away just because I don't know, just because I'm lazy, or I don't want to say I'm lazy, but like, I'm very slow to do things. So I have to be very diligent, or I have to have another one backed up if I'm running low. So I fell off it for a little bit and I did have a bad period in between, but last month's period was pretty good and I'd been taking it every day. And since then I've been taking it consistently every single day because it really does help me with my pain, I've found. So I'll let you know how this period goes, but really consider that it's also amazing for, I mean, omega-3s are really good for your brain and for anxiety and for depression. So it's kind of the whole package because it's helping you with your hormones and with your period symptoms and then with your anxiety and your depression. And another major benefit is my skin. Like, it hydrates your skin from the inside. It makes your skin glow basically from the inside out. My skin lately has been better than it's been in a very long time, and I'm just trying desperately to be like, what am I doing? And those two things, the castor oil, so the external, I'm using it externally, and then the fish oil for like the internal benefits, the combination of those two, I'm telling you, are 100% making my skin amazing right now. Like, I am loving my skin, and usually in the lead up to my period, my skin is really bothering me, but I'm very happy with my skin right now. I've also been drinking a lot of water. I've been trying to be really diligent. I drink a lot of water all the time, but sometimes I can kind of slack off a little bit, especially when it's cold. But remember, herbal teas count as well. So make sure that you're drinking a lot of water. Drinking a lot of water is not just good for anxiety, but it also helps with the bloating. Like, if you deal with a lot of bloating, it can really, really help that symptom, because I know how uncomfortable it is to feel bloated. Obviously, your skin as well. It's going to help if you deal with breakouts. It's going to keep everything moving. You constantly want to keep your lymph and everything moving. And it also helps you with your digestion, so you're able to go to the toilet, right? What else? Those are the top things that I've been doing lately. I really wanted to tell you about the castor oil and about the fish oil as two things to consider. You know, if you struggle with your skin, if you struggle with your hormones, like I said, I'm going to be the guinea pig for us and try the castor oil on my stomach and see what happens. And then one more thing before I go for real. I say go for real because I feel like I say goodbye a million times and then I'm still here. But I've been getting back into my ASMR at night. So if you don't know what that is, I feel like you do. And I'll include links as well. There's a channel on YouTube, Batala's ASMR. Oh, please, Lord, let me say that, be saying that right. But she is just so cool. I love her personality, her ASMR, like, it ASMR, if you, so there's different triggers and stuff, like, there's certain triggers that can make you get tingles, like, in your head, and you know that feeling when someone is scratching your back or playing with your hair, you know that feeling, or, like, massage, giving you a massage, it's like that, but you're just listening. So I absolutely love ASMR. I had like a whole chat. I have a friend who's gotten into it on TikTok, and she's like, oh my God, like I listen to that every single night and fall asleep to it. And she was sharing channels with me and stuff, because a lot of people go live on TikTok for hours doing it, but it really does feel good. And it makes me feel extremely relaxed, and that's why I bring it up. Because if you're feeling kind of all over the place and your mind is running wild and you're very anxious, or if you struggle to fall asleep, it's very nice to listen to at night. And you will definitely find one that you relate to or that you enjoy, whether that's someone talking like the whole time, or like tapping or scratch, or like mic scratching or slime or like whatever it is. There's so many different triggers. But I really like the tapping. I really like the scratching as well. I find the scratching gives me tingles. And then, oh man, excuse me. I'm tired. What else do I enjoy? I really like the slime as well. It sounds like ocean sounds, like when they put the slime over the microphone. I really like that. If you're into ASMR, let me know what triggers you like. I'm always curious what people think of it. The first time I saw it, I was like, what is this? This is so weird. And then I listened for a bit and I was like, hey, it feels kind of good. But it's very good for relaxation. I know a lot of people with anxiety find that it's very, very helpful. So I wanted to mention that. And that's been helping me at night a lot. It's like something I look forward to. That's another thing. Like, if you have stuff to do during the day, what is something that you love to do, or something that you can tell yourself, oh, you know what, when I finish my work for the day, I'm going to do this thing tonight, so that you have something to look forward to. You know, you give your brain that little dopamine, that hit of dopamine when you give your, it's like it's the reward chemical. If I do this, then I'm going to reward myself with this thing. So what is something that you can really know that you can look forward to? So if you're doing a task in the day that is just not one, it's 333 right now as I talk to you. Sorry, I'm like all about the angel numbers and all of that. But if you have a task that you're just not enjoying, then while you're doing it, you can be like, oh yeah, like when I finish this, I can go do that later, and I'm really looking forward to it. That can be really helpful. That helps me. Are you guys into angel numbers, like seeing repeating numbers? I went through probably a few years ago, for an entire year, I'm not joking, I saw 222 constantly. And I remember I started seeing it when I was going through some heavy stuff. And I looked it up, and like 222 means like things are going to be okay, things are going to work out, you're on the right track. And I saw it for that entire year that I was struggling, and when things started to get better. So those are probably my favorite angel numbers, is 222. But the past few days I've been seeing, I mean, maybe someone listening to this is very familiar with angel numbers, or maybe, you know, I don't know, maybe you know more about this than I do, and I would love to hear from you, because the past few days I've been seeing 111. I've been seeing a lot of ones. 111. 11:11, constantly, like it's crazy. And sometimes I'll look at the clock and I'll see it for a split second before it changes, you know. So it's been 111 for me and 11:11 constantly, for about a week now actually. And then yesterday and the day before, I was also seeing 555 constantly, all the time. And I've now, the past day or so, I've been seeing a lot of threes. I woke up at 3:03 a.m. I noticed the clock. I haven't noticed the clock the entire time I've been talking in here, and I noticed 3:33. Anyway, I don't know. I'm just one of those annoying people. I see the numbers, I'm like, oh, it's a sign. But I do, like, a friend of mine told me, because I would always make a wish at 11:11, and I still do. If I see 11:11, I'll make a wish. But I remember a friend once told me that you're supposed to make a wish when it's 1, 2, 3, 4, so 12:34. So now I do that too. When I see 1, 2, 3, 4 in the clock, I'm like, oh, I gotta make a wish, and I'll make a wish for the entire minute. I'm so annoying. Anyway, I think I've said everything that I want to say in this episode. I really just wanted this episode to be validation for you, and to let you know that there's nothing wrong with you. If you're on an emotional roller coaster with your hormones, there's nothing wrong with you. I do have a separate episode on hormones where I share a lot more, where I go a lot more in depth into things that can help, like the magnesium and the red raspberry tea and this and that. But in this episode, I wanted the focus to be on, you know, there are a whole bunch of things that can help us manage it. And like I said, I do talk about it in that episode, but I wanted this episode to be really just allowing yourself to be okay with how you feel. Like, if you need to rest, it's just like honoring your cycles at different times of the month and how you're feeling, you know, being gentler with yourself. You know, if I'm not feeling good, can I rest without feeling guilty? Can I allow myself to read all day or watch Netflix all day or do nothing or listen to music or whatever it is that makes you happy? And that's the key thing here. What makes you happy? What makes you happy? Go do more of that and stop feeling guilty, okay? I'm telling you. I'm bitching at you right now. But seriously, like, go do more of what makes you happy. Like, follow your joy. Where did I see that? Somebody said that. Follow your joy. To live a happier life, every day, follow your joy. What makes me happy? And of course, there's things, you know, there's tasks that we have to do, but what can I do while I do this task? Can I listen to a podcast while I do it? Can I listen to music? Can I give myself something exciting to do later that is like a reward for myself for doing this task? Follow your joy. Let that be your motto, your mantra. Just follow your joy, because guess what? You deserve to be happy, okay? No matter what someone tells you, no matter how somebody makes you feel, no matter what that little fucking voice in your head is telling you, you are worthy of happiness. Like, you deserve to be happy. I'm gonna end it there. I love you guys. I will talk to you soon, because I'm on a roll now and I'm going to keep it going, and I have faith in myself and I have faith in you, and I trust that you are going to be gentler with yourself. Okay? Talk to you later.